for this Gaura Lila evening in the beginning of the spring season. As I always have to say, I'm sorry that I will speak to you in English, but because this is very, very, very much listened to in the English speaking world. Therefore, I will talk in the English language to all of you. I would just like to welcome Malini, our world traveler. Have you come from Australia, Malini, just now?
No, South Africa.
Oh, yes, good. Durban or?
Yeah.
Durban, good. So Malini is here, that means we are very satisfied and happy, and want to also welcome the different devotees who I see not so often. Welcome. And very much I would like to welcome all of you who see me now on the internet. Welcome for this Gaura Lila evening. This evening I have chosen a very, very interesting subject, I hope, which is very dear to my own heart. It is the art of transformation. Something which is very a dear subject for all people who are interested in, let us see, in the effects of spiritual practice. What does it do to you? How does it help you? How does it uplift you? Does something change or when you practice Krishna consciousness, or does it stay the same? It's just a more pious version of the old self, or this is a question which we will deal with today. Because I wish to stay in a certain time frame, I will immediately start, but I'm really happy, first of all, that you all came, and happy for all of you on the internet. And please let us celebrate this opportunity. Our lives have become so terribly busy often, if not so terribly distracted, that to come together as devotees and hear about Krishna is something rare, something to be celebrated, something which needs to be given enough attention. I want to remind you of something Tolstoy said. The human being, since all times and at all times, has only one time at his disposal, the present time, the now. So let us tune into this moment, forget about the past that sleeps and the future which you might dream of, either in happy dreams or nightmares. Be here in this temple room in Cranesley, and also, if possible, my dear internet audience, stop the 1,000 little things which often terrorize our lives, or they're like tyrants in our life, and be now in the present here.
Mera Radha Madhava Punya Vihari.
Yeah.
Rama,
cultures of the world all over the different time frames have always tried to assist the human being in one mighty project. That is the inner transformation. To make the soul from what it is now and bring it higher, to a higher dimension. A new person, a different person. Srila Prabhupada once pointed out the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart. I always joke, someone who comes home after a yoga class and then says bad words to his wife and kicks his dog has not really been transformed and changed. This subject of transformation has also occupied the mind of big philosophers like Friedrich Nietzsche. And if you will allow me, because we have a lot of German-speaking people, I will just quote him in German and then try to translate him. Is that all right? You need to understand it. Aber der schlimmste Feind, den du begegnen kannst, wirst immer du selber sein. Du selber lauerst dir auf in den Höhlen und Wäldern. Einsamer, du gehst den Weg zu dir selber. Und an dir selber führt dein Weg vorbei und an deinen sieben Teufeln. Ketzer wirst du dir selber sein und Hexe und Wahrsager und Narr und Zweifler und Unheiliger und Bösewicht. Also das kommt alles raus. Verbrennen musst du dich wollen in deiner eigenen Flamme. Wie wolltest du neu werden, wenn du nicht erst Asche geworden bist? Mangala hat sehr genau zugehört. Das ist natürlich, sagen wir mal, those of us who speak the language of transformation know these are the elements. Die before you live. You know, the old person has to go so that the new person can arise. Let me translate this for the non-German speaking word. But the worst enemy whom you will ever meet will always be you, you alone. You will wait for yourself in those caves and forests. Oh, lonely man, you are on the path to yourself. This path will lead you past your seven devils, heretics. One of them, witch, prophet, idiot and doubter, unholy man and evil man. All this you will meet. I have often spoken to devotees who have looked at me and said, how could this come over me? I committed adultery. I broke the principles. I took in something which I should not have drunken or eaten or smoking we do in any ways not. Nietzsche says, you must burn yourself in your own flame. Otherwise, if you don't first become ashes, how will you arise? He put this word together. Werde der du bist, become who you really are. Werde der du wirklich bist. We once made a seminar here under this title and so on. So, transformation. This is a very important subject matter. Now, when you look for transformation, what is it that is the symptom of the new person? How will the new Frauke look? How will the new Rio look? How will the new Jai Krishna look when he is Go Krishna? All you Henrys and Magdalenas, how will you, the new person, look? What has to change? The first thing which has to change is a sense of your identity. You might be reminded how Prabhupada said, without ever tiring, we are not the body. That was his translation of Aham Brahmasmi, I'm spirit. He expressed it like, what? Softer. Good. So a new sense of identity is important. You can't continue with the idea, I'm German. That is an idea which is not standing in the face of transformation. The next thing which we are looking at is new thoughts, new reactions. I like this very much. I just had a telephone conversation with one person who was practiced in the martial arts. And this person was attacked in an Asiatic country by a few children who wanted to steal her money, which she kept in a bag. Now, ordinarily, in normal circumstances, she would have applied her knowledge of martial arts and would have, beaten the thieves. But now, because she felt I'm a devotee, she did not really think to do anything more than just the bare necessity to not be overwhelmed by the thieves. New thoughts, no longer so aggressive, no longer having feelings of revenge. When you are transforming yourself, your thoughts must change. You must have a new set of value. If you still, as a spiritualist, think money is the most important, and good looks, following fashion, and so on, you have not transformed. You are still the old person. It is, you look at new values and new desires. New behaviors should be there. What will you do with yourself when you are alone? That's a good question. No, at that moment, no one looks, but a transformed person will not go back to the old lifestyle. Actually, when you are transformed, you have even new dreams. It's so deep, and a new life. So transformation is not a cheap thing. Transformation is something which really is something not for the half-hearted, not for the superficial. It's for those who are not just interested to enter a new religious movement. They want really to change and want the real stuff. They actually want to become pure of the upadis, the labels, Etiketten, sagt man in Deutsch, and so on. And it's not so easy, my dear devotees. But it is possible by a spiritual process. There is an interesting verse in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which I found when I prepared myself for these for a seminar which I gave over the Eastern holidays to students in Goloka Dham. A very good group, 120 students. And I found a verse from the Hari Bhakti Vilas which speaks about transformation. It says this. As bell metal, it's like copper, when mixed with mercury, can be transformed into gold. A person, although he is not golden pure, this is Prabhupada's translation, can be transformed into a twice born high class being simply by the initiation process. You know, when someone is interested in the transformation, it always only his interest and his strength is there when he has reached in his life a still point. What is a still point? Our life in this world follows a certain pattern. Just like the day turns into night and the night turns into day, youth will turn into old age. Happiness, which we could put into the top of the wave of life, will turn into sadness. When the wave of our life goes down and we reach a point where we sit and think, "Oof, where do I go from here?" This is the still point. We are no longer so active in our old ways. We may have been busy and we feel dissatisfied, and we will sit down on a bench and think, "Is this a life which was meant for me?" It's the still point. When we do many things, we are hectic in our life, and we understand all of a sudden, "My God, I can't solve this alone. I'm trying and trying, but I don't get any children. It doesn't work. Some biological problem. What to do now?" That's the still point. When we go in our life and we have tried many things, we traveled all over, we fulfilled every last of our material desires, and we think, "I'm still not satisfied." This is the still point. When we tried in our relationship to make it work so well, but again there is a misunderstanding, and we sit on our sofa and think, "Where do I go from here?" That's the still point. People in this world classically try to avoid the still point. They are scared of this like anything. They fight like this like anything. But the still point has all the powers of change. It is the point of all the possibilities. What will we do with Gadadhar? We need a chair for you, I believe. I built a castle and everyone is sitting on my chair. We are the family, we can joke, no problem. So everyone, but this still point is the point where you are open
a point where you have space inside to try something totally new. And it is into this still point, Leelanath Krishna Prabhu, where you can put, where you now must put new and fresh energy. Because it is this new and fresh energy which can bring you from the still point into a life of absolutely new possibilities. It takes some energy. I have talked to some of you who came to this still point and who were crying and were thinking of committing suicide. I said, this is the best time in your life. Don't despair. But you need now a new perspective. Now you are finally ready to do that which you were looking for. Someone who is totally bound up in the 1,000 things which he always does. Someone who's totally filled with the old thoughts, with the old values, with the old identities, can never change anything. It's like he is in a room which is absolutely full with stuff. Empty your room if you want a new room to happen in your life. So the still point is that, which is just so important. In Vaishnavism, we put the process of bhakti into this still point. There is this one thinker, he says, first you must become still before God can talk to you. Mm-hmm. So in Vaishnavas, we have a few things which we do which bring about transformation. And my dear devotees, it's not that you do this once. You have to keep this in your eyes. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur identifies 14 steps within the transformation. Would you like to hear them?
Yes.
How iron becomes gold is an interesting process. like we heard here. Just like copper, when mixed with mercury, can be transformed into gold by a certain process, a person can be transformed into an exalted being. An ordinary person can become exalted simply by the initiation process. What is given to you at that time? Well, it all starts really with something which is very, very particular to bhakti. See, we are speaking about the bhakti transformation, obviously, here. We are not talking about what Nietzsche speaks here about. I mean, we talk about the idea, but we do it in the bhakti way. Bhakti is not just a few mechanical activities which you can learn from a book. Bhakti is about a bhava, a different feeling. And bhava means something which totally defines your identity, your being, and so on. And that feeling or inner orientation or attitude is not something you learn from doing a few things. It's you need to go to someone who has it, the mercy of a devotee. And then you are with a good devotee. Something of his orientation strikes you and you start to resound.
Resonate.
Thank you. You start to resonate. Like here. He plays a few strings and then the resonating strings move. Do you hear? So the melody sound is the devotee, And when you are in this association, you resonate like time waver. Then you do service to the devotees. You make a relationship. By seva, you come closer to his heart. And as you do this, something begins to change. It's your orientation, your shraddha, in what you believe, what you feel is true, what is your next goal. Then you want to be trained. Now we come to the training process. It starts by surrendering to a trainer, a personal coach, a guru, no? And in his association, you begin to become interested in the processes of bhakti. And as you do these processes, and I just read about this today, you will come to your limit. You will think, I did so much now on this path, but nothing has changed. I must change my bhava, my inner orientation. Prabhupada says there is no, if you, to progress further, you have to go from what he calls Vaidhi Bhakti, it's not only, this is what Rupa Goswami calls it, doing just rules and activities, to something where you become interested to feel love in the way the great Vaishnavas who are together with Krishna have. You have become interested. How does the cowherd boys feel for Krishna? How does Srimati Radharani feel for Krishna? How do her many assistants feel for Krishna? I want to also have some feeling. My life without feeling is so empty. I'm so mechanic. Nothing is happening in me. Mm-hmm. Then you start to, as you want to offer Krishna service with some love, you begin to now something happens. Your old values, your old attachments, they go and they make place for something which is called nishtha, some steadiness on your devotional path. Then you develop taste, you develop attachment to Krishna, love in different shades and colors, and finally you have the darshan of Krishna. The transformation of the heart is only possible really when you, the complete transformation, when you see God. Otherwise, something of the old Henry will always stay in you. Something of the old person. The darshan of the Lord will cut the knot which is made out of ego and your karma, means your identity and your activities and your whole entanglement. And my dear devotees, this darshan acts, it doesn't disentangle you, it cuts it. The knot to this material world, in other words, is not solved by a process of nicely disentangling yourself by good theoretical thoughts, by jnana, no, by good analysis, and so on. There must be sought something categorically different, which just goes through you, a darshan which goes through your heart and then cuts the knot, not disentangles your knot. In other words, it's not something you do, it's something which Krishna does to you. And then at that moment you come to the 14th level of transformation, you experience the Lord's sweetness. Hare Krishna. Some oxygen. Ja, genau. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, I want to today talk about this process with an example. I would like to tell you about Sanatan Goswami.
When Sanatana Goswami had heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked, "Where can I meet my Lord?" And all the indications, all the answers led to one town, the town on the blue mountain, Jagannathapuri. The field of Purushottam, the field of the best of all beings, Lord Jagannath. So he went on a long journey and had to pass through a jungle, the jungle of Jarikhanda. And there was only very bad drinking water. Very, very bad drinking water. And he didn't have a mobile water filter with him, like we would have. I know whenever I go to the Himalayas, I take such a thing and get my water. No, he had only his hand to drink. And he developed a terrible disease called in English weeping sores. As far as I know, it's a disease where you have deep skin wounds and liquid oozes out of these wounds. This liquid is a mixture of, you know what, Blutflüssigkeit and pus. It is really a very unpleasant disease because the sores of wounds are itching like anything, and you want to itch yourself. Then you just rip away your skin. It is a terrible disease. When he arrived in Puri, the place of his dreams, his problems only became worse. He would go early in the morning to spend time with Haridas Thakur because he knew at noontime his Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come by. And he waited for the Lord, and the Lord would always come and always embrace him. His pain turned into excruciating agony, also eine Qual im Höchstmaß, würde man sagen in Deutsch. Because if he would only have suffered physically, he was a realized soul. It didn't affect him like we, who already begin to panic when we have to go to the dentist. No, he was a realized soul. But what pained him more than anything is that the golden body of the Lord became smeared with his pus, sein Eiter. It became so bad that he decided, in the next Ratha Yatra, I will jump before the wheels of Jagannath car, and they will roll over my body and break my spine. Then I can peacefully die seeing Lord Jagannath. So before Ratha Yatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him, "Oh Sanatan, oh Sanatan, please come. I want to tell you, if I could have reached my Lord by committing suicide, I would have done so millions of times. But you cannot reach the Lord by doing an impious activity. Don't do it. By the way, I thought you were an honest man. Your body is no longer your body, it's my body. I have many things to do through it.
Don't destroy my property. And all this the Lord would embrace him. One day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I can't take it any longer. And he went to Jagadananda Pandit and asked him, what should I do? I came for my benefit, but I'm destroyed by making the body of the Lord dirty with my own paths. Jagadananda Pandit said, go to Vrindavan, leave Puri. The next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sanatan and said, why do you listen to this new man? Jagadananda is a new boy. He cannot advise you who are so superior. Stay in Puri. But the culmination was still to come. One day, Mahaprabhu went to Haridas. This time, Sanatan was hiding behind a tree. Mahaprabhu said, come, come, I want to embrace you. And he ran to the Sanatan and embraced him, and this was too much. Sanatan broke down in crying, and he said, my Lord, why do you do this? Lord Chaitanya said something very interesting. He said, listen, Haridas, listen, O Sanatan. Now I will speak about something which is deep within my heart. I think of you as my little boys. I must maintain you. The maintainer never takes seriously any faults of the maintained. I saw this. We are living together with a wonderful couple, with a nice child. And sometimes when Mandali is on the arm of Varaha, there is an intense fragrance coming from Mandali. And everyone goes like, oops, Mandali, a little bit more culture would be appropriate. But Varaha is in bliss about his daughter. He is not minding because he's maintaining. No problem. A very like rose flowers. I always think of myself, says Chaitanya, as deserving no respect, but because of affection. I always consider you to be like my own little children. When a child passes stool and urine that touch the body of the mother never hates the child. On the contrary, she takes very much pleasure in cleansing him. Similarly, when the foul moisture oozing from the source of Sanatan touches my body, I have no hatred. And then he says, Krishna manifested this disease in Sanatan because he wanted to test me. If I deal with Sanatan on the bodily platform, or if I deal with him on the spiritual platform. I think this is very much relevant for us. When sometimes the devotees we stay together with, maybe those who are very close to us, manifest symptoms of maybe anger
or they do things which are difficult for us to take, do we then go back in our relationship? Do we love less? Do we withdraw into the angry little frustrated child pose? Or do we understand, I am appreciating this devotee, he's a devotee of Krishna. I don't care what is happening in the outside, in his mind or in his body. We are tested in our relationships when things happen which are not according to our German, Persian, English or whatever expectations we have. No? We are tested at that time. Are we mature in our relationships, or are we still like the angry, disappointed little child? If I had withdrawn from Sanatana and had not embraced him, I would certainly have been chastised for offenses to Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes his point very clear about how Chaitanya Sanatana could not be seen externally by him. He said something about transformation. At the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders unto the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. When the devotee's body is thus transformed into spiritual existence, the devotee in that transcendental body renders service to the lotus feet of the Lord. In this way, Mahaprabhu is consistent with the text in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that as normal metal, when mixed with a certain process, can turn into gold, a normal person can be transformed into a dvija, you know, a spiritual, exalted person, simply by the initiation process. Initiation, never forget, it's not what you might have, think. It's not a little ceremony and two, which happens in half an hour. Initiation requires you to engage in this process which I read to you, this transformation process from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which means basically to engage in the processes of bhakti. And as a result of these processes of bhakti, something will lift you out of the still point into the point of all your possibilities. Remember what we talked about it? Still point and coming into your life. And Lord Chaitanya spoke about verses. He said, the living entity who is subjected to birth and death attains immortality, full transformation, when he gives up material activities and dedicates his life to the execution of devotional service and acting according to my directions. In this way, someone becomes fit to enjoy with me transcendental pleasure. Krishna speaks to Uddhava. So if I would have acted towards Sanatana in this way, oh no, look how he looks, oh, he smells, from these weeping sores and so on, I would not have passed the test of Krishna. This point of this parallel realities in a devotee life is discussed by Rupa Goswami. He says, never think a devotee to be material if he is covered with material faults. Does the Ganga lose her spiritual potency because some mud is floating in the Ganga, some bubbles of water are there? No, a person
who sees the Ganga is filled with things who are bubbles and bad things, smell a stool even, will still take the nose, the liquid spirituality, the liquid essence of the Ganga is not harmed by this. No? Spiritual vision, not material vision, in other words. Seeing the spiritual reality, not just the body and the mind. Seeing the spiritual reality. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give this as an example. I want to finish this little Gaura Leela by telling you something which affected me very much in my life. I think I told you that I had a very nice childhood. I grew up on an island in a villa, which was a villa, a restaurant, a waiting room, and a train station. Twice a day, the little red island train stopped before our villa, which did all these things, which I just told you. Passengers came out, they went to Oma Mom's, that's the old fat lady who was in the restaurant. And I would jump into the red train, I knew, and I could go for free because I was the respected son of the respected director of the train station. Yes. So there were at that time many influences on my life, and maybe the biggest one, even more important than our local priest or our teacher, was Fritz Monarch, a previous professor who had become a drunkard and who lived in the park under a bench. He was I have never seen a philosopher like Fritz Monarch. He really had studied all the literature, and my taste for literature I have from Fritz Monarch. So once I came down, I had climbed a tree, I came down, I told this to the children, and Fritz Monarch stopped me. He said, "Who do you think created man?" I said, "Of course, God." He said, "Wrong and right. Listen to my story, never forget it." The devil lived in a country which was full of enviousness, greed, lust, a country he had created. But he needed a servant, a willing servant. So he needed from the clay something which looked like a man. It had 2 feet, 2 legs, a torso, Oberkörper, shoulders, hands. Then he tried to make the face, but he failed miserably. At that time, all the mice could fly. One mice said, "I can help you. The face of your creature can only be made by God." Yes, but he will not give him a face. "I have an idea." The mouse flew to paradise where God just took a shower. No, he washed his face with the dew, his Morgentau. When he was finished, he took a towel and cleansed his face, and in the end blew into the towel. The mouse took the towel, brought it down to the devil and said, "Here you have the face and the breath of God, der Odem Gottes." And the devil put it over his clay man, took the towel away, and lo, he had a face. and he had life. The devil said, "You are mine. Fulfill my orders." But God was angry at the devil and said, "He's not yours. I gave him the faith and I gave him life." And the devil said, "Well, he's half mine and half yours." And that is the explanation, Fritz Monasch said, why we are so zerrissen. It's the explanation of the drama of our humanness. One side in us wants only the Lord. One side of us, the living side, wants spirit alive. But there's another side which is sometimes equally as powerful, equally as strong. And you always have to decide what side you are giving strength. I did the mistake. I served him who is in this bottle. Fritz Monasch took a bottle of wine. I can see him. He's calling me and I have not resisted to him. Because he lives inside of me. But you should respond to the other call, because that lives also inside of me. I'm aware that the Aufklärung, modern thought, has swept God and the devil into the human psyche. There is no outside God and no outside devil any longer in the thinking of modern aufgeklärter men. But to whatever camp you belong, I think you will agree with me that there are two forces in us working on us. And I believe this is what Friedrich Nietzsche expressed with this beautiful quotation, and which is a little bit the subject of my lecture. I will just end it. Gora Baba, Gora Lila. But the worstest enemy whom you will ever meet are you yourself. It's you who is waiting for you in the caves and in the forests. Oh, lonely man, you are on the path to yourself. Enter. While you walk, you will meet your seven devils. The heretic, oh, I don't believe in Krishna. The witch, the prophet, the idiot, the doubter, the unholy man, and the bad person. Burn yourself. You must want to burn yourself in your own flame. Otherwise, if you don't become first ashes, how will you ever become new? For us in Krishna consciousness, it means in order to practice bhakti, sarvopadi vinirmuktam, we finish our upadis, our identification with the body, with the mind, and we understand I'm an eternal soul and I have a face and a breath. I have a life given to me by the Lord and I want to go to him. I like this Gauranga Mahaprabhu Lila, which I told you today, very, very much. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here teaches us how to see ourselves beyond the body and the mind. By telling also to Sanatan and Haridas what he said, he makes a declaration for all his devotees in the past, in the present, in the future. "You are my dear children," he says. "I am not concerned about your mistakes.
Like the child does pass things, the parent, the mother is not disturbed. The Lord is not disturbed by our mistakes. The Lord looks for the bhakti, our inclination, our spiritual desire to come to Him. I will end this somewhat transcultural lecture with a quote by Goethe, which I like very, very much. Goethe, der alte Geheimrat, said, "I believe that we all carry a spark of the eternal light. And this spark should become brilliant. At the moment, we only have a Ahnung." What is it? Ahnung. Mangala. What?
A notion.
A notion. "At the moment, we only have a notion from the distance of this. But this spark in us should become a flame so that we can realize the divine within us. This is our highest duty." Ich sag mal in Deutsch. Ich glaube, dass wir Funken eines ewigen Lichtes in uns tragen, das im Grunde des Seins leuchten muss und welches unsere schwachen Sinne nur von Ferne ahnen können. Diesen Funken in uns Flamme werden zu lassen und das Göttliche in uns zu verwirklichen, ist unsere höchste Pflicht. Amazing, isn't it? I think I will give this to Syam Nam and Bhagavad Dharma, who can think if they want to quote this at the opening of the Time Waver conference. It's Goethe. I mean, in Germany, Goethe. Goethe, I mean, you can't go higher. Sorry, I'm joking. These are one of my. We will end this Gaura Lila Katha with a very nice bhajan, where we will pray to the Vaishnavas of the past to give us the strength of heart so that we can move on forward. We will thank our Munishvara Hari, the best of all devatas, who has come today to play the, what is it, violin? No, the thing, the sitar. But my dear devotees, it's a very nice song. Do you have your song sheet? Who has no song sheet? You have no song? Yeah. You könnt ja mitteilen. It's, you know, as a Hari, what is it, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, it all starts with the mercy of the Vaishnavas, our journey. Oh. Venerable Vaishnava, O devotee of Krishna, O ocean of mercy, be merciful unto your servant. Give me the shade, Lamb Demonk, give me the shade of your lotus feet. And purify me. Attention, attention, attention. I hold on to your lotus feet. O Vaishnav, teach me to control my six passions. Rectify my six faults. Bestow upon me the six qualities. And offer unto me the six kinds of holy association. I do not find the strength to carry on alone the sankirtan of the holy name of Hari. Please bless me by giving me just one drop of faith
with which to obtain the great treasure of the holy name of Krishna. No, I can't do this alone. I need strength from you, spiritual strength. Please repeat after me. Krishna is yours.
Krishna is yours.
You have the power to give him to me.
You have the power to give him to me.
I'm simply your servant. Running behind you shouting. Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Oh, hey, Krishna,
Hare Krishna. I think it is very clear for all of us to make this path of inner transformation a realistic, to bring it alive in us. We need superior strength which is higher than the one which we have. At the end of this evening, I would like to request all of the Vaishnavas to pray for one special devotee. You all know Madhva Muni, his wife Kishori has delivered her second son. It was a difficult birth with a medical invasion, and now the child had to be separated from the mother and brought into another hospital because he developed something which early born children tend to develop. It was something pneumonia for children, but since the child is so small and since now the mother is really she's in good consciousness, it was very difficult for her physically after the surgery. It was very difficult, but her motherly love and her desire to have her child well and good has overcome her own problems now, and she's focused and does what the mental tune in which is necessary, because the mother's love will certainly is not bound to locations. It can be felt very, very far. At least I feel my mother very much present in the beginning states of my spiritual life. She was really tuned in that everything went well for me wherever I was. So this is very powerful. But the family has asked for support from Vaishnavas, so I will request you to just turn to the deities. It will only take a few seconds and pray. I think those who have given birth, those glorious mothers amongst ourselves, know how much support is good at that time. So please look at the deities. Thank you all very much for participating in this Gaura Leela evening. I wish you all the best in your own transformation, your journey in Krishna consciousness, and hope to see you and serve you for the next Gaura Leela. Hare Krishna.